Chapter 24. Abbé de Fontaine. 10 p.m. The seneschal found Geoffrey in a chapel in the north wing.
"We need to talk," he quietly said. "Tell me precisely what you and the master were doing."
"He wanted to make sure those two parcels were posted in the mail."
"He say why?"
"Why would he?" Geoffrey said. "He was the master. I'm but a minor brother."
"He apparently trusted you enough to enlist your aid."
"The master instructed me to answer the question about the mailings, but I am not to say anything further until more happens."
"Geoffrey, what more needs to happen? De Roquefort is in charge. You and I are practically alone. What else needs to occur?"
"That's not for me to decide."
"De Roquefort cannot succeed without the great devise. The brothers will desert him if he fails to deliver. Is that what you and the master were plotting about?"
Geoffrey went silent, and the seneschal suddenly detected a maturity that he'd never noticed before.
"I am ashamed to say that the master told me the marshal would defeat you in the conclave."
"What else did he say?"
"Nothing I can reveal at the moment."
The evasiveness was irritating.
"Our master was brilliant. He apparently thought ahead enough to make you his oracle. Tell me, what am I to do?"
"He said for me to answer that inquiry with what Jesus said. Whoever does not hate their father and mother as I do cannot be my disciple."
The words were from the Gospel of Thomas, but the seneschal thought of what else Thomas wrote. "Whoever does not love their father and mother as I do cannot be my disciple." The younger man's path to knowledge was only just beginning. Geoffrey had come to the abbey 18 months ago from the Jesuit home in Normandy, abandoned as a child and raised by the monks. The master had noticed him and requested that he be on the executive staff. The seneschal had wondered about that hasty decision, but the old man had merely smiled and said,
"No different than I did with you."
He placed a hand on his aide's shoulder.
"For the master to enlist your help, he surely thought highly of your abilities."
"Seneschal, what of the great devise? Can it be found?"
"That's our one salvation. De Roquefort does not have it, but probably thinks we know. Do we?"
"The master spoke of it."
The words came quickly as if they were not to be said.
"He told me that a man named Lars Nell came the closest. His path was the right one."
Geoffrey's face worked with a nervous excitement. He and the master had many times discussed the great devise. In the months prior to October 13th, Jacques de Molay hid all that the order cherished. The only clue to its location came from a passage noted in the Chronicles for June 4th, 1307. "Where is it best to hide a pebble?" Only in the 19th century had new clues come to light. Abbés Antoine Bigot and Béranger Saunière. The seneschal knew that Lars Nell had resurrected their astonishing tale. Now to learn that he came the closest, that his was the right path, seemed almost surreal. The seneschal was about to inquire further when footfalls sounded. He turned as four brother knights marched into the chapel. De Roquefort followed them inside, now dressed in the master's white cassock.
"Plotting, seneschal?"
De Roquefort asked.
"Not anymore."
"You are under arrest."
"And the charge?"
he asked, showing not a hint of concern.
"Violation of your oath."
"You intend to explain yourself?"
"In the proper form. These brothers shall accompany you to your chambers, where you will stay the night. Tomorrow I will find more appropriate accommodations."
"I demand my right to a tribunal."
"Which you shall have. In the meantime, you will be confined."
De Roquefort motioned. The four brothers stepped forward. He left the chapel, surrounded by his guards, but at the doorway he hesitated a moment and glanced back, catching a final glimpse of Geoffrey. Not a hint of fear, shame, or apprehension clouded Geoffrey's face. Instead, the look was one of intense resolve.